Welcome to the Dr. Don Show on 1230 KAAA and 1490 KZZZ, where we bridge the gap between conventional medical therapies and lifestyle approaches to your health and wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Don Wagner. I'm a graduate of the New York College of Osteopathic Medicine, residency trained and board certified in emergency medicine and family practice, and I practiced emergency medicine across the country for the past 25 years. Now I can prescribe the medications or do the surgeries that can have a small impact on chronic disease, or we can make some major changes in your diet and lifestyle that will have profound effects on the entire disease process. There are times when medication or surgery are necessary, and there are times when we need to look for different approaches to disease management and focus on preventative strategies that work. That's what we do here. We critically debate mainstream medicine, examine common sense dietary and lifestyle changes that have sound scientific backing, and explore alternative medical approaches to treatment. I'm glad you're here with us today. Give us a call and weigh in on the topic or ask your own medical question. The lines are open. You can talk to us here today at 763-1490 in Bullhead City, or in Kingman at 753-1230, or you can email me at drdon@talkaz.com. The opinions and information expressed on this program are not necessarily the opinions of Cameron Broadcasting. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Dr. Don Show. Thanks for joining us. I'm glad you're along for the ride. I hope your week is going great, and I know you have a great weekend planned, but hang in there because we have a really great show for you. We have a very special guest online. We're going to be talking with Carolyn Scott Hamilton, the author of The Healthy Voyager's Global Kitchen, and the purveyor of the Healthy Voyager website, which is a great resource for people who have changed their diets or trying to change their diets and are travelers around the world, around the country. Great resource for finding friendly sites for people who are plant-based. So hotels and restaurants and things for you to do when you're traveling and how to maintain your diet. So let's meet Carolyn. Carolyn, thanks for joining us on the Dr. Don Show. How are you today?
Sure, thanks. I'm well. Thanks for having me.
So we're very happy to have you. Thanks. So you've got a great website here. And for me, I wish you had this, you know, when I was traveling around the world, when I had time to travel as a plant-based person, I always found certain countries very challenging, others very accommodating. And that's sort of what your blog is about, isn't it? It's kind of giving people some tips on how to travel safely and stay plant-based.
Yes. As well as, people who have some other dietary restrictions, be right. It gluten-free, diabetic, or someone just looking to be a little more healthy or low-fat when they're traveling.
That's right. And that's an excellent resource as far as I'm concerned. So let's start with how you became plant-based and why.
Yeah, back in 99, so it's been 14 years now, I had moved to L.A. in 98 and noticed that a lot of the folks here were quite thin, and I was young and impressionable, a young 22-year-old, and I thought that I should try and lose a couple pounds. So I stumbled upon a book called Fit for Life that was written in the 70s. And it wasn't necessarily a diet book, as it was more a lifestyle book about food combining. And it wasn't necessarily a vegan book, but it definitely spoke a lot about animal proteins and how we process them. And the light just kind of went off. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to do this. And from one day to the next, I did. And it's been going strong ever since. I early on was kind of living on cucumber sandwiches and guacamole and bean sprouts and that sort of thing. But right. I quickly decided, since I was going to do it the healthy way, I decided to go to school for it. And I got my master's in holistic nutrition, and I went to culinary school, and because at the time there wasn't even a Whole Foods out here yet, and I didn't know any other people following a plant-based diet, so I was completely in the dark, but I knew it was something that I wanted to do and was passionate about. So lo and behold, it's been 14 years, and I'm not going back.
And I'm guessing that you're not just eating cucumber sandwiches anymore.
Not anymore.
That's right.
Not anymore.
Looking at the book, yeah, you've really grown into a really strong vegan, I'll tell you. Great dishes there. And we'll talk about a couple. Because, people,
sure.
People think that, the vegan or any kind of plant-based approach to eating is boring, and it's not even close to boring. Really, once you learn that there's so much more variety and you know how to put the foods together and you learn how to create these dishes like you do in your book, the are some of the favorites of many different countries, foods that people grew up on. You've adapted them to be vegan. And so you can actually eat those things that you grew up with, the comfort foods that you love, and still mm-hmm. remain healthy. So that says a lot. And people are learning this. There's a lot more books out there, right? I mean, since you've changed,
there's probably several hundred more books than or maybe thousands more books since you've become a vegan.
For sure. I mean, just the whole world of the vegan world has changed so much. It changed from, you know, me traveling and telling people, oh, no cheese, no this, no that, and people kind of looking like I had lobsters crawling out of my ears, to now everybody knowing the word vegan or having a vegetarian option on the menu, and being able to accommodate in a better way. And it's just in the zeitgeist. You hear so many celebrities and so many different people talking about it, and vegan things on menus and products, and obviously the gluten-free thing has taken off as well. So it's definitely changed quite a bit since I started.
It has. And even there's some plant-based people who are stars just because they're plant-based. Well, they're also in a movie, but, you know, that's a big deal. Forks over knives. Big deal. No, but I mean, I see you on your website with Rip Esselstyn. I mean, there's a man who's been thrust into the limelight of stardom because of his plant-based background, and of course his dad.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, he comes from a really remarkable family, and I'm so glad because he is so full of passion, and he's done so much for the people that he's touched that I'm glad he's the star that he is, because that's the kind of star I want out there.
Exactly. People that are actually out there helping others with their knowledge instead of, you know, kooks not doing anything for anybody.
That's right. Just benefiting themselves and their careers and their pocketbooks, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that we don't need those people as much as we need people like Rip and his mom and dad, who are just remarkable people.
Absolutely.
Right. And so, speaking of your website, in 2005, you came up with the idea of this really great website, The Healthy Voyager. And that was so that people, you started to amass some resources for people to who are traveling, who want to eat healthy while they travel. And so you have blogs there. You have, tell me about it. And how did you come up with the idea?
Yeah, in 2005, I came up with the idea for the show, which was just a travel show based on helping people who had special diets travel, you know, people like me and people with other dietary restrictions, and making it a fun travel show that showed, you know, how to keep healthy on the road. And I started to pitch it around, and I think I was a little before my time, because while people liked the idea, they weren't ready to kind of take the plunge in the plant-based world.
Right.
They were still, you know, heavily producing shows where people are eating roaches and slugs and crazy fattening things around the world, and not really looking to health. So in 06, I thought, well, then I'll just do it myself. I had my own peer and event planning firm for many years, so I knew that building a brand was key to get the attention, you know, later on. So in 06, I started just the travel blog and then the show. So the online show was kind of born in 06, and then it's kind of snowballed into this full healthy and green living brand that showcases travel, of course, and recipes and eco-living tips, health news. We do giveaways, we do product reviews, lifestyle and entertainment. So anything under the healthy and green living umbrella, it's there, with the flagship being travel and recipes.
Yeah, great site. And I really recommend people go to it and familiarize yourself with it. So that's thehealthyvoyager.com, right?
Yeah, it's healthyvoyager.com.
Sorry, healthyvoyager.com. Okay. All right. So, yeah, check that out, please. Great resource, especially if you're traveling. But even if you're not, there's so much there that you can look at. Let's see. You're a very busy lady. let's see. Nutritionist, chef, author, filmmaker, screenwriter, singer, dancer, fun-loving, healthy, green-living wife. That's a pretty big, tall order there. keeps you running, though, doesn't it?
I've definitely had 9 lives and try to live them all as best I can.
Yeah, can't complain about that. I mean, get as much into this life as possible. Pack it full and eat a plant. That's right. And eat a plant-based diet so you have the energy to enjoy it and do all these things. See, every time I talk to people like yourself, you know, that are plant-based, that are, you know, they're not just doing one thing. They're doing, you know, 15 things. And more than half of them are super successful, and the rest of them are just kind of just beginning to get successful. You know, it's amazing that when you're healthy, when you feel good, when your head is clear, how much you can do, how much you can think up, dream up, and then put into effect and keep going. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, absolutely. It gives you the energy, and I think there's something about learning about this way of life that gets you excited. You know, I mean, for me, it's been 14 years, and it hasn't stopped. And I have to say, I don't know if I was necessarily a foodie until I became vegan. I just see food and ingredients and flavors in a whole different way than I did. I think before I was vegan, I had a pretty lame palate. You know, I love the stuff that I grew up with. I grew up in Miami, and I was born in Colombia, so I love food. And then, of course, the
Sounds like we're having trouble with that phone. Sounds like your phone's having a little bit of problem, Carolyn.
Oh, can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Just we get like these intermittent beats of static. I don't know if it's a battery issue or not.
So I don't think my palate was very sophisticated until I became vegan, and it just opened up a whole new world for me of flavors and dishes, and it's just so much fun to explore food now. Despite the fact that people think that it's so limited, it really isn't.
That's
so,
right.
It's been a lot of fun.
All right, let me take a break here. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what's on the site. You've got quite a few things, and we'll just touch on a few of them before we get into the book. I think that's a great idea. Then we'll get to the book. All right.
Sounds good.
All right. So it's 15 minutes after the hour. We're talking with Carolyn Scott Hamilton, author of The Healthy Voyager's Global Kitchen. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. In the meantime, go to healthyvoyager.com and check out her website. We'll be back with more on the Tri-State News Talk Radio Leader, AM 1230 KAAA and 1490 KZZZ. Welcome back to the Dr. Don Show, where we bridge the gap between conventional medicine and lifestyle approaches to medical treatment. It's 19 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to the Tri-State News Talk Radio Leader, AM 1230 KAAA and 1490 KZZZ. Give us a call at 753-1230 if you're in Kingman, or 763-1490 in Bullhead City. And I'm talking with Carolyn Scott Hamilton, the founder of the Healthy Voyager brand, website, blog. It's a travel show, and now the book, Global Kitchen, The Healthy Voyager's Global Kitchen. And you go to healthyvoyager.com, and you can check out all the blogs. And if you're traveling and you're remaining plant-based, this is a great resource for you to do so. So, Carolyn, can they get a copy of the book at the website?
Sure, they can get it at healthyvoyager.com. They can get it on Amazon, their local Barnes & Noble, at Walmart, and a lot of independent bookstores carry it as well.
So you can get this book anywhere. Okay, so there's no excuse. Mm-hmm. Get it. All right.
No excuse.
No excuse. All right. We're going to put it on the required reading list. All right. So let's see. A lot of stuff on this website. Really great stuff. The Healthy Voyager Travel Show, which is what started the whole thing, right? You said that was the first thing you started and then kind of built on from there.
Exactly. Yeah, I thought of the idea for the show, which is why it remains a Healthy Voyager. And then I thought when I started to add all the other elements to it, I thought, oh, well, you know, I added the tagline, life is a voyage, live it well. So it stayed underneath, you know, the brand since the travel show had started to gain some steam and some popularity. So I kept it all under that. But yeah, the travel show is kind of what started it all back in 05, 06.
And did I read that? Is that your mission? The Healthy Voyager mission is Healthy Voyager aims to help people live well one veggie at a time? Or is that just a statement?
Yeah, pretty much. Basically, my mission is to prove that regardless of your dietary restrictions, that you can enjoy your life, whether it's traveling, whether it's at home. And even if you're not necessarily tied to any special diet, that you will live your life more fully if you kind of switch to a healthier way of life, like we were kind of chatting about before.
Right.
You just get so much more energy, you're lighter, your mood is better when you're not, your body isn't full of processed foods, and it just kind of changes your perspective on a lot of things, and I think it's just overall better just be a healthier being.
That's right, and more green. You're right. And cruelty-free, very important.
Exactly.
That's right. All right, so let's see, Healthy Voyager Radio. So are you on a radio station, or is that just the blog that you have on the website?
I was on a radio station here in Los Angeles, and then the commute was killing me. So I decided just to make it a podcast here from home, and I went on hiatus Christmas of 2010, because that's when I was writing the book, my first book, and then last summer we were shooting a bunch of shows, and then I was dealing with all the pre-promotion of the book, so I haven't been able to bring it back just time-wise, but I did have a radio show, and I love doing it. I hope to bring it back soon once things kind of settle down again.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. And I'm trying I do my show every day, and so I'm trying to get my book out, you know, and it's like I can't get to it, and I can't go on hiatus because nobody can fill in for me, so I just have to keep doing the show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely it's a labor of love, that's for sure, as far as like when I was doing it as just a podcast
right
here from home, and you know, it's a job into itself, and then, you know, add in everything else, and I was like, "Oh, guess I'll have to bail for a while and bring it back when I have the time." But yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun.
There's only so much you can do in a day, right?
That's right. That's right. And you gotta strike a balance. And I think that's another important element of living well is, you know, I can spend 16 hours in front of my computer and only take a break to work out and eat, you know, but then, and I could do that for days on end. And sometimes I do, but then there's that breaking point of, oh my gosh, I need to get out. I need to go see friends. I need to go catch a movie or go out to dinner and just do something normal. So striking a balance is really important to not just work, work, work all the time, which I think a lot of us tend to do that are, you know, more A-type. But yeah, striking a balance is very, very important, and taking time for yourself and not just completely chaining yourself to the desk.
Absolutely. You're right. The balance is the key. Of course, healthy diet is the thing that keeps you healthy enough to strike that balance. That's very important.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I liked was your the Healthy Voyager City Secrets. So if you're traveling, I saw a lot of stuff for L.A. I wonder why. Even in some cities, I mean, I grew up in New York City. So, you know, there's so much going on in a city like that, you know, how do people know about things that you want them to know about, or, you know, plant-based stuff? There are different resources for different cities, but I like your little video blogs of that. I think those were well done, and I think that those are the types of things that people want to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Since I started with just the travel show, I never actually covered Los Angeles because I live here.
Right.
And then I thought, well, LA is so vast and so spread out, and there's so much going on, that I started my own little separate show called City Secrets, kind of digging up the hidden gems around town that people may not necessarily know about. And it also, you know, works as a travel piece for people who are coming to Los Angeles and
right.
want to find those things while they're here as well.
Exactly.
So,
I think that's great, because I'm not from L.A., so if I want to see, you know, what's going on in L.A. for the, you know, the plant-based scene, works for me. I like it. And then you do these giveaways, and what do you give away? That's got to get people interested.
Yeah, people love it. People love free stuff on the internet, and I'm always surprised because, you know, we give away something every week, be it a coupon for a free product, you know, a food product, or shoes, or we've given away scanners, you know, like the Neat scanner. So it varies, you know, anything to do with healthy and green living. So it might be a food product, might be a beauty product, might be an eco-vegan fashion item, or something to kind of help you around the house, like that scanner. So we run the gamut of stuff just because I love introducing new products to my readers and giving them the opportunity to try something out. Or, you know, if it's something they already love, giving them the opportunity to get, you know, some of it or one of the items for free. So it's been really fun to see new people come to the site because of a specific product that's being given away, and then they stick around to look at the information. So it's just another added incentive to be on the site and check it out on a weekly basis.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Maybe go even more often because there's so much there to see. And if you're traveling, I really like the healthy Voyager approved part section. And now tell me what your criteria for a product or a restaurant or a hotel. How do they make your list?
Basically, with products, it's products that I've tried and that I enjoy and that I recommend for a specific diet. So I would say 99.9% of the products that are on there are completely vegan, or they have, it's a product line that has one or two vegan items in their product line. There's a lot of gluten-free. There's a lot of, kid-friendly. So it just depends on the category. So we have you know, food items, beverage items, health and beauty, home items. So I list things that I enjoy that I think are beneficial to living a healthy and green life. And it's pretty much the same for hotels, looking for eco-friendly hotels, hotels that accommodate special diets, especially places like B&Bs, and restaurants, of course, that accommodate special diets. Anything that's listed as far as on the travel side of the website is essentially Healthy Voyager approved, but we started to add the restaurants to the list that bear the seal of approval. We have these window clings that we hand out to restaurants every time we travel, and if they make the Healthy Voyager approved directory, then I give them one and they can put it in the window so that people can find me, and then on the website, in turn, people can find them when they know that they're going to head up to that city. So it's been a lot of fun to launch that part of the program, which we launched at the end of last summer. So there's not everything that was covered on the travel section is on the approved list. That's just because we haven't been able to send them their window cling yet. But when we're there in person, we hand it to them.
I think that's cool. So I'll be looking out for your little window sign. Which is, is that your logo, the Healthy Voyager?
Yeah, the one that's the Healthy Voyager approved logo. The cartoon version of me with a big check mark, and it says approved, and it's got the website on it. Yeah.
Cool. I was looking through a lot of this, and looking at hotels, I'm not sure of your criteria, but have you thought of sticking the Wynn hotels in Las Vegas on there? All of their restaurants now have vegan meals, vegan menus.
I have covered them.
Yeah. Oh, have you? Okay.
Definitely covered them, and we shot in Las Vegas in October, and we're still working on getting all the rest of the new shows for the new season ready, because we're redoing the title sequence.
Okay.
So we're kind of redoing and saving all the rest of the new episodes for the new season. And Vegas is on there, and we covered Wynn, and that'll definitely go on as soon as we tend to wait until it's being covered on the site to post it on the approved list.
Got it.
So that there's a reference to see that, you know, where it was covered and why it was covered.
All right. So you're way ahead of me. Good.
Yeah.
Excellent. No, I think that's great because, you know, that I'm excited about there. I went there and saw the facility, and I think it's just great. And, you know, you can sit in any restaurant with anybody and still remain true to your diet. So I love that. And I'm very happy to see that a lot more institutions are taking this on too. They're taking it serious.
I mean, in this day and age, either you or someone you know has some kind of food allergy or
right.
is staying away from something for whatever reason. And restaurants just have had to kind of come to terms with, hey, we have a new ever-changing customer base and we need to attend to their needs. So it's been really remarkable to see the chain restaurants that have really adapted to special diets and then even the smaller ones. So, you know, 14 years ago when I used to travel, it was pretty impossible. And even ordering by manipulating the menu was always a little bit of a nightmare because you'd really have to make sure that they did it right and had to order in such a way that they would understand because they really didn't understand. And now it's basically on every menu you can find something that's ready-made that you don't necessarily have to manipulate to fit your special diet. So
that's right.
It's really come a long way.
It has come a long way. I mean, it's come even more for me. I mean, I've been doing this since, well, a little more than 30 years. And when I made the changes, luckily I made my changes first in New York, and it was a lot easier because, you know, the macrobiotic places and,
mm-hmm.
you know, there were a few. Today it's a different world. You know, it's...
Yeah.
But not my little town here. We're trying to change that. You know, there's still small towns that just are not up to speed yet, especially in
right.
certain states where, you know, meat and potatoes are the way to go. Industry drives that, you know, and so people like myself have to fend for ourselves and fight for a farm stand or any good food locally. But we're
getting It's getting there, though.
It is. Luckily, I'm so fortunate. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy to see this, you know, and now that I'm getting people to make these changes in my practice, it's absolutely imperative that we have these things so that people can go out and get, you know, the supplies they need and you know, books to learn how to cook and you know, websites and there's you know, so now I'm so happy to see that. It makes my job a lot easier.
Yeah, definitely. And it's helping a lot of people who wouldn't normally do it on their own, you know,
right.
kind of let them dip their toes in the pool of trying new things, you know, even if it's just a little bit here and there.
Right. Exactly. All right, let me take a break, and then when we come back, we need to talk about the book, okay?
Sure.
Very important. All right. So it's 32 minutes after the hour. I'm talking with Carolyn Scott Hamilton, the founder of the Healthy Voyager brand, the website. Go to healthyvoyager.com, the book, The Healthy Voyager Global Kitchen. And while you're at the website, take a look at some of the videos, the blogs. They're excellent. It's a great resource, not only for traveling, but for anybody who wants to make some changes toward healthy, going plant-based. So we will be back with more on the Tri-State News Talk Radio Leader, AM 1230 KAAA and 1490 KZZZ. Welcome back to the Dr. Don Show, where we bridge the gap between conventional medicine and lifestyle approaches to medical treatment. It's 35 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to the Tri-State News Talk Radio Leader, AM 1230 KAAA and 1490 KZZZ. Give us a call at 753-1230 if you're in Kingman, or 763-1490 in Bullhead City. And I'm talking with Carolyn Scott Hamilton, founder of the Healthy Voyager brand, the website, healthyvoyager.com. Healthy Voyager's Global Kitchen, the Healthy Voyager TV, which you can see the videos on the site, her podcast from Healthy Voyager Radio, and basically all about being healthy, changing your lifestyle, and traveling and remaining healthy. So if you're traveling around the world and you're finding it's hard to find healthy foods, this is a site where you can go and get some tips as to where to find the safe and healthy foods. So let's talk about the book. The book is a great resource, and it's what I like about the book is the fact that you take some comfort foods from around the world that you're not able to eat, I'm not able to eat when we're traveling. You know, we're in countries. Mm-hmm. These are their great foods that we know about, and they're classics. I mean, I can name, you know, a Cajun gumbo. Of course, it's veggie. You know, chicken and dumplings. I mean, just, you know, meatloaf, crab cakes. You know, the standards. And, of course, well, we know crab cakes are not vegan until you took care of them. But, you know, and that's what I like about this. You know, we don't have to deprive ourselves. We can eat all those great foods, but eat them healthfully, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And my main goal was to help people who were either had been vegan for a long time and were really missing those international foods, be it that they grew up with them and could no longer have them, or had traveled to a specific location and really fell in love with that dish but can no longer have them, and vice versa, people who are looking to kind of start out in the vegan world, be it, you know, going to do a Meatless Monday or just kind of cooking for a vegan friend or someone who's gluten-free, and just showcasing that you can make all sorts of fantastic dishes that are tried and true from around the world without sacrificing your diet and your health. And it was really important to me to make sure that I stayed true to the techniques of these cultural foods, because sure, I could have made them either super quick with a ton of processed foods or gone the other end of the spectrum and made versions of them that were super, super, you know, straightforward with just tofu or something else. And I wanted to kind of walk that fine line of, hey, look, I'm going to create the recipes as, you know, as true to the original recipes from around the world. And then depending on how strict you are with your diet, like if you don't do soy, then you can use seitan, or if you don't use gluten, then you use tofu. So you can use the conventional, you know, vegan meats if you want it to have that same texture and flavor as the original. But if you're looking to have an even healthier version of it, you can substitute, you know, mushrooms or tofu or seitan or tempeh. So pretty much any spectrum of vegan or non-vegan can really enjoy these recipes from around the world, because they can't anymore, or if they are going to travel to a specific country and they see these dishes, they can at least come home and say, hey, I saw that when I was in Germany. I'm going to go home and make it because I have the recipe now, you know. So
right.
It was really important to make it fun and kind of, you know, accessible for all sorts of veggies.
Yeah, and I noticed that. I mean, so what you were able, and I bet more so in the Spanish dishes, because I was reading those thinking, wow, these are like right on. I mean, you know, paella. I know it's the vegan variety, but I mean, you've got it down. I mean, it looks like paella. It that looks like sausage in it. I mean, it's you know, I know it's just a picture, but I'm hungry. and you really have, and you know, you've captured, you know, I don't know about the flavor without trying it. We're going to actually try a couple of your recipes, but you get the texture, the presentation, and it looks exactly alike. So how could you not think you're actually eating the true dish?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with the spices, the flavors,
right.
And just the technique. So sure, if you're substituting, you know, a vegan meat substitute for the chicken, for someone who's not vegan, they may notice that, but for the most part, they're going to say, wow, this tastes a lot like the original dish.
Right.
And for those of us who have been, you know, veggie for a long time, even substituting it with tofu or mushrooms, you're still going to get that, oh my gosh, I haven't had this dish in forever, and get just as much excitement out of it. So that was really important to make sure that it stayed true to the original recipes, or, you know, versions thereof.
And so who'd you write the book for?
Me.
There you go.
Other people like me.
Very good. That's right.
because when I first became vegan back in 99, the first thing I thought of was, oh my gosh, I'll never be able to have a Cuban sandwich again.
Good point, yeah.
Because I grew up in Miami, and back then there was no, I mean, the vegan cheeses were horrible, and there weren't vegan restaurants, but the whole idea of gourmet vegan cooking was just not around. I mean, you were lucky if you got a veggie wrap and that was gourmet, you know? So, it was really important to me to recreate those dishes that I grew up with, that I loved, you know, the Colombian dishes, the Cuban dishes, and even things that I just adored, Italian food, Mexican food, Chinese food. So it was basically for me and people like me who either missed certain things that they grew up with or, hadn't yet traveled and wanted to experience the flavors of the world. Which actually kind of worked well in this economy where, you know, everyone's kind of tightened their purse strings and can't afford to do all this exotic travel anymore or as much as they'd like. And at least they can say, you know what, let me bring the world to my kitchen in the meantime and experience those dishes. So if and when they do finally get to those areas of the world, they can say, oh, wow, yeah, I've had Wiener Schnitzel. I can't eat it here in Germany, but I've had it. And now that I see it, I can go home and make it again. So, you know, for people who love to travel, people who love ethnic food, and the fun thing about the book, too, is most of the recipes have the folklore behind it. There's like a little fun fact that tells you how the dish came to be in that country. And if there was something that wasn't that interesting, then there's the health benefits of whatever the main ingredient is in that recipe. So it's kind of an educational tool, a travel log. And, you know, you can learn a lot about certain cultures and foods and why they do what they do, and then also experience the flavors, which I thought was a lot of fun. So I wrote it for people like me and people who had an interest in the same things.
Yeah, I love the little fun facts. I read most of them just to learn a few things, like the name paella is from the Latin word patea. Is that right? Meaning pan?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I didn't know that.
Exactly.
So great little, I mean, there's a lot here. I mean, I even learned what the first fast food burger was, and I think it was a White Castle.
Yeah.
I was fascinated by that. And most people out here don't know White Castle, but I'm from the East, and I do have memories of eating those horrible hamburgers.
Horrible, full of onions. I do remember liking that as a kid.
And so tiny. I mean, it was barely a burger. It was more bun and onions, right? Amazing.
Exactly.
I know. But you got them at 3 in the morning because that was the only thing open. Here's something that here's something that I know a lot of people from the South said, oh, I'll never be able to eat that if I... Southern biscuits and gravy. Yeah. Great.
Oh, know? Yeah.
I love it. I mean, they're all in here, really. I mean, you meant Wiener Schnitzel. Yeah, I mean, that's a classic German, but you can't have it if you've gone plant-based unless you get this book. So
exactly.
That's right. All right, let me take a break here and then come back. I want to pick up from there. And let's talk about stocking a global kitchen. What are the key ingredients? What are must-haves? And, you know, what is going to make that vegan kitchen a lot more efficient? All right. Mm-hmm. All right. So it's 44 minutes after the hour. I'm talking with Carolyn Scott Hamilton, founder of the Healthy Voyager brand, Healthy Voyager website, healthyvoyager.com, Healthy Voyager's Global Kitchen, Healthy Voyager TV, radio, blog sites, blogs. I mean, go to the website. You'll see what I mean. We'll be back with more on the Tri-State News Talk Radio Leader, AM 1230 KAAA and 1490 KZZZ. Welcome back to the Dr. Don Show, where we bridge the gap between conventional medicine and lifestyle approaches to medical treatment. It's 47 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to the Tri-State News Talk Radio Leader, AM 1230 KAAA and 1490 KZZZ. Give us a call at 753-1230 if you're in Kingman, or 763-1490 in Bullhead City. And I'm talking with Carolyn Scott Hamilton, founder of the Healthy Voyager brand, healthyvoyager.com website, blogs, Healthy Voyager TV, Healthy Voyager radio podcast, and now the Healthy Voyager's Global Kitchen, 150 plant-based recipes from around the world. So if you have a very special or favorite dish from home or where your mom's from or one that you grew up on and now you can't eat, this is the book to find it in and learn how to veganize it. And I don't know if you coined that phrase, Carolyn, but I don't think I've read veganizing food lately. I love the term.
I do remember saying it early on, and I think it's gotten pretty popular in the vegan world. But yeah, I remember saying it long ago because I did have to veganize a lot of my favorite things early on for sure because it wasn't available.
Right, and you've done a great job in this book. Now, for people who are setting up their kitchen, you know, they don't know where to start. You know, what do we stock the kitchen with for the global kitchen?
Yeah, I would say it depends on your taste. Like, if you know that you hate Indian food, then you don't need to run out and get, you know, curry and all kinds of spices that fit within that. But the mainstays obviously are tofu, tempeh. If you like mushrooms, so that you always have the protein alternative. If you're just getting started, or like, you know, some of the faux meat, there are some products that are better than others. Like, I happen to really love Gardein. It's not a gross processed meat. And then, you know, Daya cheese is a good vegan cheese. It's a little bit on the fattening side. But if you're looking to make something that's going to knock the socks off of a non-vegan, that's the best cheese to kind of go with. So it depends on your taste and where you are on the spectrum of veganism. So starting out and you want to stock up with the fake meats, then that's great so that you can really get the texture and flavor out of these recipes that are the closest to the originals. And then, of course, you know, getting the beans and the legumes and the tofu and stuff for those of us who are a little more on the healthy side. And then I guess that you would delve into the types of foods that you really want to work with. So, you know, I've got 18 chapters here that span 18 countries and regions. So, you know, if you're like, oh, wow, I really love Thai food, there's definitely a list in the book of what you're going to need for Thai. Like, you know, they love to use fish sauce in a lot of their food. So I have a recipe to make a vegan fish sauce. So if you know that you're going to love making a lot of Thai food, then you would make the vegan fish sauce in advance and keep that in your fridge so you could always have it on hand. Thai food loves kaffir limes. So you're going to want to have kaffir limes on hand. If you're more on the Italian side, you know you're going to have some flour and pasta hanging around, tomatoes to make fresh marinara sauce. So it really just depends on what type of cuisine that you like to work with a lot or that you crave. And then, of course, if you want to do something as an off dish, then you would just have to quickly stock up on what's available and keep it. Make sure you keep stuff on hand that you can use again and again. I like to use the trick of, excuse me, if you're going to make fresh vegetable broth or vegetable stock at home, that you should freeze the leftover broth in ice cube trays so that when you need it, it's already portioned out by tablespoon. So if you just need a tablespoon of vegetable broth to vegetable broth saute something so that you don't use oil, you just use one ice cube, or you use, you know, four ice cubes to get a quarter cup, you know. So little tricks like that are always good to keep an efficient, clean, and healthy kitchen, to be organized and make your list and have things stocked of the things that you tend to use a lot or that you like to cook.
And you just hit a couple of the key ones, you know, and I think one of the biggest things about veganizing a meal is the substitutions, because, of course, in the standard American or in the standard dishes, there's going to be, you know, cream and butter and eggs. And so, you know, people get confused and they don't know what to do. And you've even gone as far as giving a vegan heavy cream. That's the first one I've seen. Vegan heavy cream, vegan condensed milk. I mean, you've really... vegan buttermilk, which is amazing. I haven't seen those, but that gives you so much more to work with for different recipes that call for those, right?
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of those types of items aren't available in the marketplace.
That's right.
There are a few that are starting to come out, but they're tough to find. A lot of the times they're so specialty that you have to order them online. So I gave those recipes for folks who don't want to have to stock up and order them online. And you can make it on your own, you know, just like the vegan heavy cream. And you can make a bunch and keep it in the fridge. Same with the buttermilk. So that way you can use it for a bunch of different things. It is really key to know what you can get store-bought and then what you have to make. And also, if you want to just be healthier altogether, to be able to make it at home from scratch and know what's going in it. And that's really important, too, to a lot of people.
Absolutely. And so what you're saying is, like with eggs, you can buy the commercial energy powder, or you can go with, and you have a couple of great, and eggs, you can really find quite a few substitutes. I mean, you can just use tofu, right? But there's quite a few for egg.
Yeah, depending on what you're cooking.
Exactly.
You know, if you need a really dense, fluffy cake, then you're going to want to go with an egg replacer that is like a silken tofu,
right,
mixed with some water, so that you get that, like, really eggy consistency. Whereas where if you're making a cookie, you want a very light binder, so you could go with just like the energy, you know, powder. And then there's a bunch of different, like if you want to make an omelet batter for French toast, then you would also, you know, head towards the tofu. Or if you want to do an egg yolk, you would use flaxseed. So
right,
there's a number of different ways to get an eggy consistency depending on the type of food that you're making.
That's right, I was just fascinated by the heavy cream. That must be your own, because I have not seen that, and if not, who'd you rip it off from?
I did a lot of experimenting and
did
testing
you?
To make sure
Good
I
job.
Got the right consistency.
Good job. I mean, really, I've talked to a lot of chefs, a lot of vegan chefs, and I've not seen that substitution. The buttermilk is unique, so is the vegan condensed milk. You see a lot of cashew cream recipes, especially in the desserts, and so we've, you know, and it's delicious, by the way. It's a great substitute. But yeah, the other ones I don't see. So those are great. I mean, right there, that's a reason for people to get the book, is to give them more opportunities, more choices on these, what you call the base ingredients, right?
Right, right. Absolutely. That's really my big thing, is options.
Right.
Because no matter what kind of vegan or non-vegan you are, we all have different needs, different likes. I, too, love cashew cream.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to use it a lot for a lot of sauces. But then, you know, there are people that are allergic to nuts. And, I mean, there's something for everybody, definitely, in the book.
And I think the other one that is unique, I don't think I've seen this one, and this is a key one, is a Worcestershire sauce alternative. Did you design that yourself?
Yeah, there is one brand that's available, but
there's
again,
brand,
it's kind
right.
of hard to find. Yeah,
right.
it can be hard to find, and for people who don't have the patience to have to order it if they're not near a store that carries it, then I thought, well, why not come up with one so people could make it and bottle it and always have it on hand? Same with the fish sauce or seaweed stock to make seafood-tasting dishes. So it was important to me for people to have those, whether they were going to make a lot of things for my cookbook or not, to always have that on hand.
Yeah, I think that's a big one. And then, you know, you can always make a Bloody Mary, right? Just in case. You know.
Exactly.
That's right. And it's vegan. So I love some of the shopping and kitchen tips. And you start out with, you know, organic. And that, you know, you should get organic when you can. And there's that dirty dozen that you absolutely should avoid. But I always say, you know, if you can get organic, get it. But you're better off eating even non-organic foods if you can stay away from the Dirty Dozen than you are eating animal foods, right?
Absolutely.
So you're way ahead. But GMOs, I'm drawing a line in the sand on that one. You know, GMOs, I don't think we need to cross that line. We don't need to eat it. And since you're not eating animal foods, stay away from it because animals are eating it, and now you're not getting any more GMOs if you can control that, right?
Yeah, and a lot of companies, the way that you can, I know that in California they're trying to make it a law that people have
right.
to label if
Has
it's
to be labeled,
GMO or
right.
not. But either way, you tend to know who is and who isn't because the ones who don't have GMOs proudly state it on the packaging.
That's right.
So, you know, it's really easy to find that these days and stay away from it. Obviously, you know, the big ones that you need to watch out for are soy and corn.
Yep.
So, you know, if you're eating Tostitos, maybe you're going to want to switch to something that is a non-GMO corn chip, you know. So,
that's right.
So, yeah, just to be an informed consumer is really important when it comes to that. And it's easy, you know, if you do a little bit of research and then really shoot for the products that proudly label it. So that's an easy way to go.
That's right. Now I have about a minute left here. So we're really not going to have time to get into any recipes. Although I did want to ask you about the no crab cakes. Do we get the crabs? Do we get the no crabs from nowhere? Do we get no blue claw crabs?
From,
or do we not get them
no
from
crab.
The Chesapeake? I mean, I'm just wondering where we don't get them.
From no crabs land.
Right, exactly. Great recipe. Great. It is a great recipe. I really want to try this. And you got a Cajun cream dressing that is probably amazing. Oh, here's one that I think I'm definitely going to try, and that's your Chicago deep dish style pizza. You got
to
put in.
You definitely need friends to help you with that one.
Yes, you do. You do. But you got to get a New York style pizza in there. I mean, just for the rivalry. Maybe next book, right?
Maybe the next book will just be all kinds of kooky pizzas. Mexican
there you go.
Pizza.
Oh, I love it.
Thin crust pizza.
I love it. And, you know, if you're into Spanish foods, I mean, she's got everyone in here from all Spanish countries. So I have to say, I recommend this book. It's not the lean versions, right? I mean, some of these are high calorie. So we're not saying you're going to lose a lot of weight, but we're talking about good food, good healthy food. So I recommend it. And Carolyn, hang on the line. I'll get back to you in a moment. I just have to sign off. This is Carolyn Scott. Carolyn Scott Hamilton. Go to healthyvoyager.com. This has been the Dr. Don Show, and I will be back with you tomorrow. Until then, this is Dr. Don wishing you well.